This is the interview between Kimha Radio Giờ Của Mẹ, that means Ave Maria Radio, and Bishop Alfred Ajienta, Bishop of Norongo, Botanga, Ghana, on July 9, 2050.
Hi, this is Bishop Alfred Ajienta. I come from Ghana. I was born in a small village called Wiaga. I grew up in that village. I went to school. Then I was baptized as a child because my parents were also Christians. My grandparents were not Christians, but my parents converted to Christianity. And so when I was born, I was baptized and called Alfred. So I went to school there with my brother and sisters who were also baptized as infants. So I went to the elementary school, then eventually I went to what we call the minor seminary, which is high school. And there, that is where I found my vocation, the desire to become a priest. So after studying for 5 years, I went to another senior high school for 2 years. Then I applied to go to the major seminary where they train the priests. My parents at the beginning were not very enthusiastic because I was the first boy. And so they were not very eager to let me go because I'm the first boy. But eventually I spoke with them and they said, yeah, okay, you can try. So that is how I went to the major seminary and I trained to become a priest. I was ordained in 1988 in the Diocese of Navrongo, Bolgatanga, and my first appointment was in a big parish and where I served for 3 years. And then after 3 years, I went for, the bishop sent me for further studies in Rome, where I did studies in Bible. When I came back, he asked me to go and teach in the major seminary. I was in Rome for 4 years. I got a degree in the Bible studies. It's a master's degree. Then I went back home, teach at the major seminary for 5 years. So after 5 years, my bishop also asked me again to go and do the doctorate. So this time I went to Belgium and then I did another 4-5 years. And then I received a doctorate in Bible studies. Then I came back to the major seminary where I was teaching until 2011, where I was called by Pope Benedict to become the third indigenous bishop of my diocese, because there were two others who were before me. So I am a bishop for only 4 years. And my vocation to the priesthood started very early, and because I saw the priests in my village going around teaching the people, but also helping them, the poor people, those who were sick, those who had no food to eat, they would come and visit them in their houses, and then give them either some clothing or give them some food. And those who were sick, try to treat them. And then eventually, if they are not able to do anything in the house, they will bring them to a small clinic and then they will give them medicine. I was so much touched by the work of the missionaries who came to preach the word of God. Eventually, I fell in love with the church and also the work that they do, talking about God and trying to help people to know about God. That is where the interest to become a priest started. And then I began to grow and to ask people and to help, and people helped me to nurture my vocation. So my vocation actually started by seeing the life of the early missionaries who were all white people who came to preach the word of God to us. And so that's how my vocation started. The Diocese of Navrongo Bolgatanga is located in the northern part of Ghana, and it is located in a place where the climate is very hot, and we have rain only 6 months in a year. So from May up till October, you'll have rain, but it's not sometimes, it's not every day. Between May and October, the people have time to plant their crops, because about 80% of the diocese people, the population, are farmers. So they work on the land to produce crops like maize, beans, peanuts, and also they raise animals like chickens and birds. That is the condition in the diocese. 6 months we have rain. Then after 6 months, no rain at all. So the people during that time, they don't really have, they cannot work on the land because there's no water, there's no rain. And so most of them either migrate, especially the young people, they go to the southern part of the country where there's more rain, leave the villages, go there, and so only the poor and the elderly people stay at home. And then they wait until when the rain comes again, they come back. So this is where the diocese of Navrongo-Bolgatanga is. Because of that, most of the people are quite poor. Poverty level is quite high. When there's no rain, the food becomes very, very short. People find it very difficult sometimes to find food to eat during that time because there's no rain and they are not growing any crop. And because they are not eating well, sometimes there is sickness. Because people fall, when they don't eat very well. And because it's not raining, sometimes when there's no good water to drink, sometimes they can drink from very bad source of water, and that also make them sick. Apart from the lack of food, sometimes there's really also a lot of sickness, especially for the young children who may get malaria and also may also fall sick because of bad drinking water and also the lack of nutritious food. This is the condition of the people. Besides, there is also the fact that not many people are still able to send their children to school because sometimes it is a bit difficult either to get the children to go to school, to pay the fees, or even they would like to keep the children at home so that they can work on the farms or help their parents on the farms. And so sometimes people, children are not able to go to school. You can see that it is a diocese with a bit many challenges. The diocese is trying, the church in this part of the diocese, in the of the region, has tried as much as possible to help these poor people and to help all those who are in need. And so we have tried as much as possible to provide, first of all, to see whether we can provide food, especially during the dry season when there is no rain. So we try to buy a bit of food and keep it so that during that time we can help the people. Another thing we try to do is to the health care, to be able to have a small clinic, clinics in the various places, so that we can attend to the needs of these people who are sick, especially the children, the pregnant mothers, sometimes who are lying in the village and are not able to go to the hospital. Because sometimes either it is expensive or they just don't want to go because they don't have the means to be able to go there. And so the church too tries to provide health facilities and health care to these people. And then we also try to provide education by building schools so that the children can go to school, and we try to encourage the parents to send their children to school. The teachers, sometimes the government tries to provide the teachers, but we have to put the buildings there. We have to, because the government cannot provide all the schools in the small villages. And my diocese, as you can see, is in a very rural area. It's not a big town. The big towns are few. And so most of our places, the parishes, are located in rural areas. Those people, sometimes they are not able to have access to the government schools or facilities. So we build a school there, and then the government will try to give the teachers to support us. So we have KG, kindergarten, try to build it for the preschool. Then we have primary school, middle school, or senior high, and then college, training college. At least we have one training college in the diocese. This is what we are doing for education. But the main challenge, and this is what I would like to appeal for help, for us is in the area of the medical care. Because when people are sick, they cannot go to farm. Even they are afraid they cannot work. The children will not be able to go to school. And so there's going to be a lot of disadvantage for them. What we are trying to do, and this is my appeal for support for these people who are living in the rural area, that we need to be able to put up and provide good medical health care so that these people can stay healthy, and when the race are there, they can work on the farm, the children can stay healthy and they go to school, because this is the only way to be able to provide a future for them. So I've already spoken about this clinic in a small village where we try, which is very, very well established, but we need to be able to make it become big and a bit more, to provide more service. And we need to be able to see how we can put a doctor there so that he will be able to attend to the people. And to have a doctor there, we need to be able to have a small theater for operation, a small laboratory for examination. We have the place, but we need to be able to transform these rooms into a small operating theater and also a laboratory. If there is any support that we can get, we don't really have the place, but we need to be able to reorganize and to remodel this place into a small theater where the doctor can do minor operations. For instance, a pregnant woman comes with a child and they have to make a cesarean operation. They cannot carry her long distance, so that the doctor can do that over there to save the life of the child. On any minor operations, the doctor can do there. So what we are doing now is to see how we can get money to be able to put the equipment and also to put some things there and to make the place good so that the people, the doctors, can work. The medication, that one we can easily buy at home. But what we need now is to be able to restructure the building, because it is a nice building there, but we have to make it like a theater. And so the reconstruction would cost some money. And that is what if we get help, we can easily do that, because it is easy. We have that. It is easy to get a doctor to come to the help of the people. Okay. The nurses are there. The nuns are there. And there are also lay people who are nurses. And they are also working in the place. Yes, the salary is paid by the government. But we need to be able to provide to help the government. And that's why we need to be able to provide place for the doctor to come and help our people. If we're waiting for the government, he will not be able to do that. And so as a church, and we know that our people need this, we need to be able to make this possible for the doctors to go to the village. Because some doctors find it difficult if they don't have a place to go and help. The diocese has 120,000 Catholics. The non-Catholic, of course, they are different. If 120,000, and the whole population is 3 million. And so 130,000 are Catholics. But we also have the Muslim there. We also have the Anglican Church, Methodist, Presbyterian, and Pentecostal churches are there. Yeah, but the majority is Christian. We don't discriminate, because like the clinic and the schools, everybody comes. Sometimes we have Muslims coming there. We have non-Catholics, like the Anglican, the Presbyterian, they also come there. So we don't discriminate against. We help anybody, because God has said that love your neighbor as yourself. And so we think that every human being is a child of God, and therefore we have the duty to be able to help as long as we are able to do that. So we don't discriminate. So the help is for everybody, because we live together as a family. So the budget of, for instance, the budget for the making the theater, we have calculated that. And if we get $12,000, we'll be able to put this in. $12,000, we'll be able to put this immediately ready for a doctor to work. And so that is the budget, $12,000. Just $12,000, we can finish the project. The building is there. What we need is to break some things and make it possible, make it look like a theater where the doctor can operate. And we are trying to get some equipment. Somebody is also helping us with the equipment for the theater. For now, my main problem and the main project that I would like to carry out is to see how we can construct that theater by making, turning this room that we have into a theater. So that is the budget that we will need to be able to carry that out. This is the first time we have a good relationship with the Diocese of Orange. Last year, you are aware that four people came to our diocese, and they were very happy with what they saw. Four people, the Chancellor, Sister Teresa, Father Juan, and then Lincoln, all of them from the diocese came to visit, and they came back. And so they invited me to come and visit. Now we have made a lot of contact, and I've met also with the bishop, and I think that we want to continue to see how we can continue to work together. So this is the first visit, but I'm not sure it's not going to be the last. I'm surely going to come back, and I'm sure we're also going to invite people to come over and see what we are doing, and especially some of the projects that people have already supported. And I'm happy that Kim Dao and the others of the Vietnamese community have supported also some of the projects that we have. And I'm hoping that one day a delegation from the community will be able to visit us and to see how their money, the contribution they are making, is giving life, is helping people to live better lives and to live with joy. Yes, that is an area, as I told you, there's no water. It doesn't rain for 6 months in the year. We dig boreholes, and we have been very lucky that we get support. We always need more. But this year, they gave us CRS. I don't know whether you know the Catholic Relief Service. So they give us, they help us. This year, they've given us, try to support us to dig 5 wells. But that's not very big. And one borehole costs about, I think, 7,000. You can get a borehole to sink it and then to mechanize it. That means you make it to pump the water into the overhead so that people can, the people can fetch. So with that one borehole, with that amount, you'll be able to build and to make water for a community. And though they have given us 5 for different areas, but the diocese have... We have 18 parishes, and each 18 parishes, you have 20 stations. You have one parish, and then you have around the parish, about 20 or 30 stations where the priests have to go there for mass. Sometimes we can't get all of them with one borehole. It's very small, you know. So we try to put in the places where really needed. For instance, for children, the schools. We try to put a borehole in the school where the people can, children can have water to drink and all that. The water situation is where we are digging the boreholes to be able to give. The other thing is about schools. So we continue to build primary and kindergarten or the preschools for people, especially for the kids. Because for a long time, the children in some villages, they sit under the tree, free for school. And so when it's raining, they have to go home. But especially when it's raining, they have to close the school. So gradually we are trying to see how we can build this school so that they don't have to sit under the tree. And it's very dangerous because even there's a wind, a tree can fall, something can fall on the children. We are also trying as much as possible to build schools for that. Build a more small school, if you get about $40,000, can build 3 a unit, that means 3 classrooms plus an office, you know, for the teachers to sit there. Maybe, I don't know whether 20 or 30 feet square room, and it's that day, you are right, in a restroom. So that is approximate cost, 40,000. You can get that built and roofed for a village. These are the needs of diocese, but the major need for me as a young bishop is the health of the people, which is so crucial, because when people are sick, you can't do anything. You have a doctor in the place, it makes a difference. Because what is happening now, when somebody is sick, like a woman or a child or somebody comes there, and then they cannot do anything, they have to send him to the nearest hospital. So you need transport to carry the person there, and then sometimes it's very far. The people may not even have the money to pay for the transport to go there. So we believe that when you have a small theater and the doctor is living there, he's able to help. So that's our story, and that is one of the reasons why I have visited Orange. And I'm hoping that the contact with the people here continue to grow and that maybe one day I might come back. One day some people may also come to visit us to see the work that we are doing.
Yes, you know, if you have a map of Africa here, you would see that Rwanda is kind of Central Africa, but Ghana is West Africa, near Nigeria. Ghana, we have been very, very lucky because for 20 years plus, we had a very stable government, political transition. I mean, you will hear that Ghana is one of the most peaceful places because we have not had any, first of all, no case of terrorist attack. Ghana, we were very lucky, we were protected, and we are making working a lot to be able to protect the people and to be able to make sure that everybody, and that's why health is very important. I can tell you that Ghana is safe. We have been recognized as one of the peaceful and democratic states in West Africa. And anywhere we go, they try to praise Ghana for that. And we are hoping that our people, our political leaders, would continue to work hard so that we can have peace and then also security. Next year, we're going for elections. Like here, we have two main political parties, you know, two big parties, and they are always competing to see which one will win. No, we have no communists, not yet. We are hoping that next year it will be peaceful enough, and then we'll be able to have our elections. But Ghana is safe, and we thank God for that peace. We thank God, and we try as much as possible. The bishops have been talking with the political leaders, and we try to help the government to find ways and means of the people living together. Ghana, too, we have so many different tribes, so many ethnic groups, different languages. Maybe over 50 languages, the whole country. Some of the languages are very similar, you understand, but there are others which are very different. Sometimes it is good that we try to help them to live together. And so that is a big challenge. But people have learned to live together, even among the religions. We have no problem with the Muslims. We have a very good relationship with the Muslims. And so we are hoping that we can maintain that relationship. Because in Ghana, in one family, you can have a Muslim, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, Anglican, the same family, living together. In the same family, everybody is free to choose a religion that he wants. So you can have brothers, there are some, a brother, I mean, one of the family, one of the sons is a Muslim, the other one is a Christian, another one is a traditional believer. And they live together. Good. That is where we see that religion should not be a cause for division in a society like that. But we have to be careful, because sometimes we get people from outside who come and then they try to influence and make people fight. So we need also to continue to educate our people that being of different religions doesn't mean that we should fight or we should disagree with one another. We should look more at our family, we are together, and that's what the church is trying to do. You know that nowadays the church in Europe here and North America is going down. So if you go to Asia, you go to Latin America and Africa, that's where the church is growing. That is also the same thing in Ghana. People are more and more becoming Christians. People are still very passionate about God. God is important in their lives. And so they still want to belong to a particular religion. And that's why the numbers are growing. People are converting. People are becoming Christians. But that means that the church has a big responsibility to take care of these people. Because if the church is growing, you need pastors. You need priests to be able to take care of them. So that it will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. That is a big responsibility for us. That we need to be able to see how we can help to form faith, all these people. So it's true, the church is growing, but we have a big responsibility. Ghana, the former name of Ghana was Gold Coast, if you remember. Ghana was called Gold Coast because there was mining of gold. But there's still mining of gold there. There is also diamond sources. Now in Ghana too, they have discovered oil. But the problem is, as a developing country, sometimes it is very difficult to be able to get immediate results from these resources. Because most of the companies who mine these come from outside, because we don't have the capital, we don't have the money to be able to work on these minerals so that they can become, we can get the value for it. So what the country we are doing is more, we are exporting the raw material outside, and then you don't get that much for it. It's true, we have resources, we have minerals, but we are still working hard, and the government is trying to see how we can benefit. For instance, today we have a problem of illegal mining. People come from outside and then they go and they are digging, and that is creating a lot of problem for us, because they dig and then the land is no longer able to be productive. You can't farm on it. So, and then the rivers get polluted, because when the people, they do the mining, they can pollute the rivers, and then there's no fish, or maybe the waters dry up and the animals cannot even drink. These are challenges of developing countries, and Ghana is one of these developing countries. So we are trying as much as possible. I think the government is aware, because we have most of these people who come from outside. We used to have a problem with people from China or from other places who come there to mine. The government is trying to control that, to see how best the minerals can be a benefit for the people. But it's a big challenge, because you know that when you don't manage these things, you can run into difficulties. Yeah. About our resources, we have the resources, but the problem is how we make good use of that, because we need a good economy, you need a good leadership, and then also you need a good companies to invest in that, so that you'll be able to get the benefit for the people. I mean, I would also like to use this occasion to thank you for hosting this interview, and also to thank the people, the potential donors who are listening to you, to your radio. First of all, I would like to assure them that we will continue to pray for them, because we know that God is the one who provides for us, and God is the one who makes us generous. And as St. Paul will say, God loves a cheerful giver. So when you know that God has blessed you, you also want to share this blessing with other people. So I want to thank you, and to thank all those who are listening to your radio, and those who are willing to support us, that the people in my diocese would continue to pray, and also they themselves, even in their poverty, would continue to also to share with others. Because you are poor, it doesn't mean that you cannot share. We also have something to offer to other people, our faith, way of celebrating the liturgy, and our human values for family life, community life. This is very important. Our protection of life, which is so valuable for us, we also want to share those values with your people. So thank you very much, and I will send you the projects, especially also with the estimate of what we need to do that. And God bless all of you. So I will now like to bless all of you, especially all those who are listening. And then this blessing is meant for you, it's meant for your families, it's meant for your relatives, and it's also meant for especially those who are not well. I pray that the Lord himself will lay his healing hands on them, all those who are suffering in one way, those who are afflicted, that the Lord will comfort you and stay with you closely. And so now I bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Bishop Alfred. And I hope people who listen to your speech here will open their arms and help your people in Ghana.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
In conclusion, may I summarize what the needs of the people of diocese in Ghana. Surgical clinic for 12,000. The wells with the machines and the above tank, about 7,000. And a 3-unit classroom plus an office plus restrooms, around 40,000. If you want to help Bishop Alfred Diocese in Ghana, Africa, you can contact him by email or meet him in person. He will leave Orange County next week around July 15th. 2015. Bishop Alfred will celebrate all the holy masses this weekend, that means July 11 and July 12, at the Church Saint Vincent de Paul, 8345 Talbot Avenue, Huntington Beach, California 92646. The telephone is 714-842-3000. The Saturday virtual masses is 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. in Spanish. Sunday holy masses 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 1 p.m. in Spanish, and 5 p.m. Thank you. You can visit our website www.memaria.org or email memaria2000@yahoo.com.